is written that in memory Lord bestow upon us his grace and his blessing now and ever to the age of all ages. Amen. As you know, we are approaching the Feast of the Apostles, and as customary, because the Feast of the Apostles is always in the beginning of the month of Abib, so all of the four Sunday Gospel readings and many of the others are related to the apostleship and the blessing of the apostles that are sent out. The lessons that are in this Gospel, in chapter 10 of the Gospel of Luke, as well as many of the related Gospel readings, are a reminder for us not only of what it means to be an apostle, but what it means to be a Christian. And especially in these days, I think more important that the Lord is sending out laborers into the harvest of the world in order to sow the good seed of the word and to reap forth fruit. It is difficult to preach in this day for many reasons, as St. Cyril warns us of those who hold the divine ministry of the priesthood, that they are to call to preach and to teach in fear the words to speak and not hold your peace, as St. Cyril says. There are many churches in the world devoted to the gospel, and there are not as many that are preaching with the true word. As the life of St. Cyril of Alexandria testifies, that there was confusion about the faith. There had been hundreds of years of different confusion, and the Lord had called him to do a very specific and clear task that all of the rest of the history of Christianity would be embedded. It was a difficult discussion. And if you had the chance to read some of the letters and some of the extended explanation, the 12 chapters, it is not an easy discussion. And if you are in any of the later discussions of the Christological dialogue, it is even more difficult and challenging, especially with all of the politics that are involved. But this is not a primarily political issue. Some people discount what is the true theology and limit it to politics. In this world that we are living, there are a lot of doubts, a lot of clouds that are in the world, and it's difficult sometimes to see and to testify to what is the truth. But what is the shining light that the example of St. Cyril of Alexandria gives us, which is a testimony and a call for each of us, what we do in this age? I think wherever we work, or whatever school you may attend, or whatever people that we interact with, that there's a lot of confusion about what is the truth, and how do we recognize the truth and testify to the truth. And this is the task, I believe, of the Christians in this generation. And so this gospel, we can take many examples for us. It is typically the gospel reading that is chosen for the consecration or the commemoration of a patriarch or a bishop, in addition to John chapter 10, Luke chapter 10, the calling of the apostles, and that's why you will see this theme throughout last week as well as this week in the gospel readings. The first thing that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to the apostles in this little commission that we say, the Great Commission comes at the end, after the Lord's resurrection and immediately before his ascension. In this call, he says, go your way. And the first command for the apostles is to go. The definition of apostle is one who is sent by God, the one who is sent to do a work. Abraham was sent to do his work. St. Paul was sent throughout the world to do his work. St. John the Baptist was sent to preach. And each one had a task and a very clear message to proclaim the gospel. St. Cyril, although he was patriarch for some time before the controversy with Nestorius, he had spent 25 of his last years just focused on this point. And so when people, that's why, as you can imagine, to minimize it to one sentence and minimize the work of what he has done, it is in some sense a tragedy. Walk in wisdom towards those who are outside, redeeming the time, as Saint Cyril, as Saint Paul tells us. This movement in which we are called to move is not just a physical, to go to a certain city, but it is also the movement that God is commanding us to go from glory to glory. It is even as if someone who is focused on the sense of urgency, that there, when the Lord says, don't greet anyone along the way, he tells them that so that we don't get distracted from our focus. And this world is a world that is distracted. And the objective has to be very clear. Some people live for many years without knowing exactly what is their task and what is their objective. And although there are some years for people to figure things out, but the Christian has his focus or her focus very clear and knows what are the tasks that God is sending. So that's why he says how to have this type of focus. It is a complete dependence on the Lord. This first time he tells them don't carry money bag or sack or sandals or second tunic. As if someone tells you to go on a trip to a different country, but don't take any luggage. And no money, no currency. I think if someone gave you this instruction, you'd say, well, how are we going to function? What are you going to do after the first meal or in the first place? Where do we stay? No answers were given. But in this initial commission, it was so that they would be completely dependent on God and God would direct. So if St. Mark had a second pair of sandals, the story that we know may be different. He was obligated to go to the cobbler to fix the sandal, and we know the rest of the story in the history. But this was part of the instruction that God gave so that they would be dependent on him from step to step. For us also, it is the clear focus that we have on the goal. As I said, when St. Cyril began as patriarch, he didn't know the focus was going to be against Nestorius. He spent his time in scripture, as most of the patriarchs did. We heard that he spent 5 years in the wilderness under the blessed hands of Saint Serapion and others. Also, we know that he was under Saint Isidore Pelusium and others that he was trained in. But when he became patriarch, as the custom of the patriarchs were to do, that he spent his time in meditating and commenting on the Holy Scriptures, starting from the book of Genesis, and he did reach to the minor prophets. There were some gaps in between. And then he also focused on the New Testament commentary. The interesting thing is that when St. Cyril is called for the Nestorian controversy, it's after he has done already the homework. He has studied deeply the Holy Scriptures, and he was approaching, after the Gospel of John and the Book of the Hebrews, the two main books that were going to be used in the Nestorian controversy. He didn't plan that part. God was planning the part. And when Nestorius came to give his sermon, he was well prepared, and then he came to respond. But the rest of the world, when they didn't listen, as you know, he spent 3 months to review everything that he had done for the rest remaining years, and prepared what, again, the rest of the world was indebted for. And not just in one language, in whatever he could have, as you have examples of those who are well-versed in the different languages. It was a hard work. And after that, then he was prepared, well-prepared, in order to discuss. There are many people who ask us different questions. Every day, if you even talk to one person, they may have 10 questions. But how much do we prepare to answer and to respond? How do we respond with wisdom? As long as St. Cyril was alive, there was one church. And after 10 years, there was a great division that we are still suffering from. Because it is not just a matter of knowledge. It's a matter of discernment and of wisdom and of grace. How do we use the knowledge in order to reach the objective? He spent countless, if you read in the letters after Ephesus, trying to convince different people with the same objective, but he uses wisdom and discernment. When he writes to one of the eldest, Acacius of Berea, he was involved in the Synod of the Oak, in which John Chrysostom was, the decision, which unfortunately in the Cynic Sar needs review. Abuna will help to review. They reviewed it and there's still mistakes. So that's why it's difficult for me to read in one of the great saints, and the theological parts need review and the historical parts need review. But Acacius of Berea was present at the condemnation of St. John Chrysostom. When the rest of the world was receiving him, he wrote to him and he said, how do we just do it unilaterally, without discussion? These matters of faith, yes, St. John Chrysostom is a saint in our church, and we accepted him, but the way they accepted him was outside of the canon, was not proper. So St. Cyril is writing, we have to follow the proper procedure. And when it came to the Council of Ephesus, St. Cyril, was imprisoned for that time, and he suffered, and St. Celestine writes to him a letter saying, you have the marks of Christ, because you were wounded as Christ was wounded, but God gave you new life for your people. And he wrote to his people because before Ephesus, saying, I don't know if I'll come back alive. When he comes back, the people rejoice because their shepherd returned. Some of the other shepherds didn't return. But the key is that his focus was clear, and he spent the remaining years of his life how to convince different people of the same truth. The council already decided. He could have said, this is the decision and that's it. No, but the way that he navigates, this is the wise shepherd. For Acacius of Berea, he said, when you were in the council, we decided 1, 2, 3. And we took your advice and you are present. So in this matter, which is very similar to that, we need your wisdom in deciding this. And because of this letter, because of this wise decision, he put the influence on John of Antioch to accept. If that didn't happen, they would still be in prison. Who knows what would happen to the Council of Ephesus. But what I'm saying is, the discernment and the wisdom how to reach the objective, this is what we're lacking. This world has a lot of knowledge. A lot of knowledge, the information age. But the discernment and the wisdom is lacking. That's why sometimes when we're searching for servants, we said send out laborers. But we need the wise leaders in order to move forward. Because the challenges that we have in this world are only going to get more difficult. And it will need more wisdom and more knowledge how to convince. Because the light of Christ, it was just in many ecumenical meetings, and in one sense it looks like everything is coming together. But when you look in the details, there's a lot of compromises that are happening in the Christian world. And many times we pause and reflect, we say, how can the leaders of the churches compromise the essence of the faith? Even when it came to Nestorius, I don't have time to go in detail. But there are followers of Nestorius still alive, present, more than 500,000. And unfortunately, many churches are supporting. And when you come, if you interact, in love, in decency, but in the end, when you say, do you accept the council? No. Do you accept Nestorius? They don't want to answer. Do you accept St. Cyril? No. So how can you, of course, the name for us is very clear. So how do you continue? How do you continue when the church spent thousands of years on the same principle, on the same faith? One time I was in discussion every day when I was in theological school with the Greek Orthodox, whom I love very dearly. Every day we talk about Celsus. And thank God, after a while we're able to convince, we reach some points they don't know of. But one of the people told me, he said, you Coptic Orthodox people know your faith. I said, why do you say that? He said, sometimes in their different areas online, they debate. He said, he goes in, he tries to convince, he can't convince the Coptic Orthodox. I said, that's very good. This is because we are teaching and preaching continually the faith, but we don't want it to decrease because we need, the challenges are very, he said, the people, they study the response. And so you don't stop. It will get more challenging until we reach. Why was St. Severus so hated? He had memorized what St. Cyril of Alexandria was teaching. He preserved the correct dogma. People would twist words, and they still do that today. They twist what St. Cyril says to come to the conclusion they want. We tell them, that's not what it says. You say, why? This is the one translation. We say, no. Say, look at the original. Look at St. Cyril's words are very precise. And if it wasn't precise, it would have been a problem for centuries later. So even when we are in discussing, we need to know very well. You say, do you know the letter, whether it's a vacation, letter of Epictetus? You know where St. Cyril has taught, even the book, that Christ is One. They changed the title of the book in the Eastern Orthodox to convince other people that we're just speaking about unity. He's talking about one and the one nature of God, the Word incarnate, to speak about the one hypostasis. But they changed the name to Unity of Christ so it's more acceptable to the other people. This is what we need as Coptic Orthodox to know the history. We know the precision. It's not just theologians. Every Orthodox person knows the theology because we love the Lord, and we know the Lord in the Scripture and in the Fathers and in the liturgy. So this is not just for a certain group. It's for every person. What St. Cyril was speaking about in the council, if you look at the 12 anathema, have you looked at the 12 anathema before? There are 12 points. Some churches didn't accept the 12 anathema. They said that's not part of Ephesus. But why are they important? Because it tells you in 12 points, why is the council important and what is the impact if you have the wrong faith? And if you look at it, the first half are related to the teachings of the Incarnation. The second half is what is the consequence if you have the wrong teachings of the Incarnation. Your Eucharistic understanding of the Eucharist will be wrong. Your understanding of salvation will be wrong. Your understanding of the saints will be wrong. Your understanding of the church and what we are doing in the church and who do we worship and pray and everything that we do and that's revealed to us is compromised by the one formula if you have it off. And that's why they went. They weren't just with ego, and as some people say, all of that story. But it's touching to salvation. And that's why when we go deeply in it, it will give us the edification for our souls and it will guide other people into the faith. Because like I said, there are Christians who don't know the depth of the faith. And as one of the scholars told His Holiness Pope Shenouda once, he said the work of the Coptic Orthodox Church in America is to save and to adjust, to do the work what we couldn't do, the other Orthodox, the other Christians who were here, they went off. And he told His Holiness Pope Shenouda, we are depending on the Coptic Church. Your churches are full, you have youth, and you are teaching well, so we want to see the fruit of what are the Coptic Orthodox people doing. One time I was in a church, a small church in Ohio, very little church. They didn't have a priest that Sunday, so they said, no, come. So after I prayed the liturgy, there was a man who came, said, I need to talk to you afterwards. He's not Egyptian. So I said, okay, what's your story? He said, I was Christian, and then I became Muslim, and now I want to become Christian again. So I said, what brought you here today? He said, my doctor. I said, what does your doctor have to do with this faith? He said, that's my doctor right here. As he was going regularly to his appointments, somehow they talked about the faith, and so he realized the doctor has something that he doesn't have. And so quickly he convinced him to come to the church, and I was only there for that Sunday, but those things are not coincidence. God guides us, like the apostles, to do the work, to have the answer, to have the roadmap for different people. As one time in the monastery, the priest who's in charge of teaching the new priests in the 40 days, he would give like an analysis after you sit the first time, and he has like an x-ray of the person and gets a plan for this person. This priest different than this priest. They're all priests. But as if a Christian able to do the same, you're speaking to someone stranger and you know where is their faith. You know what is lacking, and we have a plan that God guides us to lead them to the way, not just the priest. They may never enter the church. But the work of the Christian is to guide others into the faith. This will give us the joy and the meaning and the purpose that God extend your life for the sake of the others. May the Lord richly bless us, give us always His light, allow us to be His servants and ministers in this world. Glory be to Him now and ever and to the end.